Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, Monica here, and I'm so excited to get to hang out with you again today. I'm especially happy because I know that the topic we are covering today is something so many of you have been waiting for. If you are part of my Q&As over on Instagram on Thursdays, then you probably know that sibling questions come up all the time. Sibling squabbling, how to handle it when one sibling is mean to the other. When should mom get involved? When should mom not get involved? These are all such good questions, and I do my best on Thursdays to answer as many questions as I can, but I always wish I had more time to dive in and talk sibling relationships. So that's what we get to do here today. By the way, if you're not following me yet on Instagram, let's get over there at @MonicaSwanson_. Give me a follow and then be a part of those Thursday Q&As. But for this conversation, I knew it would be a lot more fun if I brought another mom on and had a real mom girlfriend chat on this topic. And the first person who came to mind was my friend Jessica Smart. Now, I got to hang out in real life with Jessica a couple years ago, and I enjoyed her so much. She's somebody I could talk to all day long. She's super funny, she's very wise, and she's really honest. So I think you're going to enjoy getting to know her. And I will be linking to her two books over in show notes, Memory Making Mom and Let Them Be Kids. Now, she has been on the podcast talking about those books before, but they're both really good books. I love her writing style, and she just might be working on another one, but I won't spill the tea on that here. You'll have to stay tuned for more coming up in the new year. Now, Jessica and I came into this conversation knowing this was going to be a mom-girlfriend chat. We're drawing from our own experience as well as the research we've done for our various books, yes, but we just couldn't cover everything. And so if you would like a part two to this conversation, be sure to leave a comment over in show notes. Let us know what specific sibling topics would be most helpful. And also, please keep in mind, as we're sharing, we are aware that every family is unique, every child is unique, every situation is going to be different. So though we're giving our best advice and wisdom, we always want you to be prayerful, to be turning to the Word of God, and adjust everything accordingly to your family's needs. Okay, so I'm super excited to dive into this conversation. I do want to pause to just say thank you for following this podcast. Wherever you listen, you can click on that little plus sign or follow button on your podcast app. Also, next week will be the beginning of a new month, which means coffee date emails going out from me. And if you're not on my email list yet, please consider joining us. You can do that at monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Once a month, I send out a special email that is packed with links, sometimes coupon codes, encouragement, usually something funny, and just a good variety. I take good care of my email subscribers, so get over there before next week so that you'll get November's coffee date email. All right? So now, without further ado, let's jump in and talk about all things sibling relationships. I'll have a few final words to say at the end, but I hope this is an encouragement to you. Jessica, I'm so excited to talk to you. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Oh, this is totally going to be great. And already I shared a bit about you in the introduction, but for the sake of this conversation, tell us how old your kids are currently.
So yes, 15 and 13 and they're boys, and then a 10-year-old daughter.
And yes, I love that you have a daughter because that is an important element to consider in this conversation. And we have so much to cover, but just for funsies, I thought I would open with one of my favorite Bible verses on this topic that at least relates to sibling relationships. I don't know if this will inspire or frustrate people, but it's Psalm 133, verse 1, that says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in harmony."
Amen.
Amen. And that can be a goal. Somebody out there is groaning, going, I don't even know what that looks like. So where should we start? Where should we start? Because I got notes like pages in front of me.
I have an idea of where to start. I was thinking about this, which I'll just say real quick. I know you did my intro already, but one thing that's cool from my perspective is that I feel like I've been the recipient of this. Like I live on a family compound where I can look out the window and see there's my two sisters' houses and my brother lives not far too. So while I'm very much in the trenches and I'm not confident in being like, I have it all figured out. Here's what I did. It's in my kids, you know, but I was the recipient of it. And yet we were so terrible to each other and we were so bratty. And so the fact that like, it is a success story and we, you know, came out and my mom would always be like, your sisters are going to be your best friends. And I was like, there is no literal way that's you've lost your mind. Wow. And it is true. So I feel like, I have so much hope and I also see what a gift it is. And so related, I was thinking my mom is so good at always being like, what is your goal? Like about anything, any conversation we're having, what is your goal? And so I think in this, like, and I thought of three, you are the expert and probably have a lot more, but I was thinking when you're talking about sibling relationships, sibling fighting, like three goals came to mind for me. The first one is like, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I bet a lot of people it will resonate with. And that is simply that we don't want to listen to all of this right. whining and nonsense and arguing. And that goes into your verse, which I didn't even think about. Uh-huh. But like, we want to have a pleasant home. Harmony. No one wants to be in a home that's like super stressful and annoying. And that's okay to say that is a goal. Amen. Okay. So that's the first goal.
I love
it. The second goal is like I just alluded to is we do want them to have the gift of friendships with one another. And I think now more than ever, this crazy culture where everybody's telling you you're this, you're that, like there's a lot of identity issues going on. And so having a group of people 100% for you, no matter what, is such a gift that we can give our kids. So friendship, long-term, like we are not going anywhere. We have your backs. I mean, I'm not saying this is like happening exactly in my house all the time, but that's the goal, right?
Right.
So friendship. And then, and this made me think of you, like obviously our goal also is that our children would develop godly character. And so a lot of the things we see, like it's not only annoying, but like you're being unkind. That is actually a biblical virtue. Like you need to stick up for the rights of someone else. You need to put yourself last, you know, you don't feel like going in blah, 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 playing Candyland, but like God calls us to lay down our own life. So I think those three things of like, yeah, we want to have a house that's like pleasant to be in. Two, we want to give our kids the gift of people that are have their backs. And three, we want our kids to have character. So I think like that can kind of, we could go a lot of different directions in like where we want to accomplish that. But what do you think?
Oh, I could not love those three goals anymore. Those are all so good. And what I love about all of this is that this is training for life, for relationships at a job, for a marriage, for community involvement. Like what they're learning in these relationships will transfer. So I think it is worth investing a lot of time into. So within that framework, from my questions on social media, there were just some repeated requests. So I thought, I'm just going to list some of these and then and then we can go back and forth and share from our own experience. But even before we get to that, one thing I'd love to kind of lay a foundation with is talking a little bit about family culture. You and I know both love this topic, and I think it's important to cover before we jump into our Q&As.
Right. Oh my goodness. I mean, you could write about a book about all that, but related to the conversation, I feel like that is setting the groundwork for your kids liking to be with each other. Like if our only goal is the number one of, I want it to be less annoying for me, our life will look one way. But if we're trying to build this like really awesome family culture, then we're going to have to pour time into being together. And when we are together, you know, not letting everyone check into their own little boxes and devices. And, but like, we're going to invest in a family vacation. One thing we do is, Smart family day. You know, my last name is Smart. And so once a year, like, we do something fun that we've never done together. And the day is just about us. It's, we're the only people that go. And, you know, so that's like an anchor kind of thing in the year. And I really try to be intentional, but I mean, I'm getting like really specific here. I don't know that the point is, I'm trying to build a culture of like, we like each other. We like being together. So it's not all negative of like, stop arguing. Don't do that. I think step one is like, do you have the kind of home, like, do you enjoy doing things together? And that is very hard if your kids are really young. It might be like, no, I actually like, I don't like Bluey. I'm like, I don't know, whatever. But I think slowly you can build those things that, you know, maybe we all go for a walk together and we all cheer for, you know, the Panthers or whatever it is. Kind of building shared hobbies and things that we genuinely enjoy that we don't have to fake too much that we can do together. And then as your kids get older, you can do like family mission statement nights or whatever. And so in the very beginning, if your kids are really little, maybe that's you and your husband going out for dinner or, you know, locking the door when they go to bed and popping in a pizza, frozen pizza. And you just kind of brainstorm like, what are the values? What makes us us? And then sharing that with the kids in their language if they're really little. If they're in the elementary years, involving them in that process and saying things like, what do you love about our family? You know, what are some things that we all love or that we do together? And what are some ways that we want to treat each other in the house? And, you know, of course this could, but I would make this a fun event, by the way, like ice cream and I love food. So it's always like, but just, it's not going to be a family meeting that's really stressful. It's like, we're going to like, just talk about our family. And so we created a poster board that was like, here are some things about us that we value. And then when your kids get older, you can really like turn the reins over to them and say like, hey, like, well, this is how we presented it with our kids when they were early teens. We were like, hey, like in 20 years, and I'm copying this, by the way, from Nicolene Peck. I will think of the name of the book. And then we'll I think it's like a House United or something. But I will put – so Nicolene Peck is the author.
Okay.
And she talks about brainstorming your vacation in 20 years. So, okay, everybody adds up their ages and where are we going to be in 20 years? And what do we want our life to be like then? Well, we all want to be friends, right? We want to have fun together. Maybe where would we go on vacation? What would we do? And they kind of laugh at like who might be married and whether if somebody's a famous football player and, you know, whatever.
I love it.
But just like casting the vision for like, where we want to be makes the things right now feel different. Like, okay, I'm still annoyed that you squashed my favorite Lego creation. But we're in this for the long
haul. There's a bigger
picture. We're friends.
No, I love that. I really do. And in Raising Amazing, I have a section also where I talk about mission statements. And I confess there that it wasn't until my first son came home from college, it was over the holidays, that for the first time we actually wrote ours out and we got a whiteboard and everyone pitched in their ideas. But the cool thing was, is as we did it, we realized we'd kind of been living this out, even though it hadn't been in writing. Like when we asked each of the kids things like, you know, what defines us? What are some of the things that make Swanson Swansons? Like, who are we? We were pretty much on the same page. So I felt like, okay, we've done something right, even if we haven't written it down. And I don't think you have to write it down. It might depend on your personalities there. But I do love that. And I love casting that vision. And I think I refer in Raising Amazing to something, some kind of positive, subtle brainwashing as you even raise those young kids speaking life into this. Like, hey, your little brother, you know, he might still be a baby, but you two are going to be best friends one day, and just kind of speaking positively so that it's like, that's the expectation. That's what we're going to call normal in our family, right?
I love that.
So with that, we each have books that will help with that foundation. I really, really believe that's huge. I think if you're listening and you've got little kids, you want to start off with that intentionality. with your spouse, with the kids, really start to plan for a family that's united. You don't want to, you even mentioned it already, you don't want to go in defensive, like, oh no, what if they hate each other? No, I can't wait for them to love each other. And yes, there will be hiccups and bumps, and you'll still catch my boys wrestling on the ground to this day. But overall, if your trajectory is towards a united family, it's going to make a big difference, I think, in how the daily stuff goes down, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So, Jessica, if you're ready, I'm going to just start throwing out some of the most asked questions. And then,
hopefully you're not, I think it's really kind of funny and cute that I'm on here, like trying, because Monica's like the person I look up to, one of the persons I look up to the most in parenting. So I think she should have to answer some too.
This is conversation.
But I will try.
Yes, we'll just discuss these, and that's very sweet. But everyone listening can know, Jessica and I got to spend a little time in real life together, and I left that time going, dang, this is one person I wish I lived near. Not only do we both love to run, so we went for a great run together. We even got chased by a dog together, right? That was bonding, sort of.
Oh, that was, and when she says chased by a dog, like a terrible, ferocious, we really thought we, at least I did, I thought I was dying.
Serious, yes. Except we were with Nikki Hardy, who had like no fear whatsoever and handled it. You and I just like hid. But we also, you know, have a whole lot more in common, from raising chickens to homeschooling and so much. So I love talking to you, and I can't think of anyone I'd rather have this conversation with. I know you're doing a great job with your own kids, so you can be humble all you want, but let's talk about when siblings compete with one another. I heard from a lot of people who have different age kids, and the competition, everything, especially I think this is with boys, everything turns into a competition. Is this all bad? What do you say?
So obviously context is super important, because I think in our home, we've experienced it. And someone had some sins that they probably needed to repent of, but we've also experienced it that I think it was understandable that there was that tension, and it often can be older, younger, you know, that kind of the older one is, you know, maybe the, what am I trying to say? Like the one that is being looked up to and maybe putting the other one down, but not always. I've also seen it flip where there's, you know, who knows? But we have experienced it where I think somebody was maybe a little bit faster and maybe a little bit better just because they were taller. So we had some conversations about, what it looks like to be humble and back to the character point.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity. You're going to call this out. Like what's happening here is you're enjoying the fact that you're kind of winning. And how do you think that person feels, you know? And so when this dynamic is happening, we sat that person down and said, one of your main missions right now in life is to be a good brother.
Yeah.
That is the calling from God. This is super serious right now. Wow. This is your most important thing in life. And I don't know if it worked. It took maybe, if it did, maybe 4 years.
Yeah.
So then on the other side, if you have someone who's struggling with feeling like rival, I think like really trying to like, I don't know, that needs a more tender approach, because I don't know that there was wrongs committed as much as it just stinks sometimes when you've just like come out of the womb and you're suddenly behind because you're someone that's
it's so true.
And that's nothing at all about you. Like it's just, you know, just was how the dice were rolled. And so,
True.
So yeah, so context. That's been my experience. What about you? Because you have older ones.
That just was really sweet. I love, well, for one, I love that you sat the older one down and talked to him, because I'm a big believer in that, and I couldn't agree anymore. I've said, honestly, you know, one of the most important ways to raise great kids is to have an excellent firstborn. And I know some people are like, but my firstborn is the most selfish or the most this or that. And sometimes it's a secondborn, but to have someone there that's ready to be a leader, that's ready to set the example, that's ready to lay his life down, oh, that can just simplify your job so much. But whether or not you see it yet, it can happen. It may take 4 years, like you said. But having those conversations, I've asked my oldest son, like, how do you feel about the pressure we put on you saying you are a really important person in your younger brother's lives? And I was like, was that too much pressure? He's like, no. He's like, I needed it. And I think firstborns should feel that pressure because they are a leader and that they need to rise up to that challenge. So I think parents should have these conversations, not in a, of course, this is all takes discernment, not in a pressury way, but in an encouragement way. Like, you have an opportunity to really impact your younger siblings' lives. So take that role seriously and rise up to that challenge. But at the same time, I do remind people that boys are by nature, and some girls, at least me, some are just really competitive. And that's not going to go away when you grow up. Competition is part of life. So if your kids are always, you know, who can, whatever it might be, climb the highest, run the fastest, do the best, sometimes we can rein that in and channel it so that it's healthy and good. And then the verse that my husband and I have shared before, we did some Instagram stories together talking about sports a while back, and I loved sharing Romans 12:10 that says, outdo one another in showing honor. So my encouragement to parents is, if your kids are competitive, hang this up on your wall. Outdo one another in showing honor. Say, okay, boys, you want to compete? Let's compete for who can show honor the best. And kind of use these character qualities as an inspiration to outdo each other in a good way, right?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so good. I want to write that down.
Yeah, it's a good verse. I just kind of stumbled upon it and was like, our family needs this one. Hey friends, if you are a homeschooling family or thinking about becoming one, I want to make sure to tell you about our family's favorite math and science curriculum. DiveIntoMath.com offers amazing classes in both science and math through the AP level. Now, many of you know that my oldest sons went on to college to study engineering and data analytics, and they give credit to Dr. Shorman of Dive Into Math for both getting into college and having a successful college experience coming out of homeschooling. They have since then, of course, graduated from college and landed great jobs. So we give Dr. Shorman a lot of credit often. Now, what you need to know is that Dr. Shorman teaches everything from a biblical perspective, and he also teaches the why of learning math, which I think makes a big difference. He offers self-paced courses in a state-of-the-art e-learning system featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading and auto-grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman himself, and he's like the nicest guy you could ever know. Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions, which is super important if you want to keep that door open for your kids to go to college. Now, you can also earn up to 32 college credits with included CLEP and AP prep. Definitely go over to diveintomath.com, check out all they have to offer. I think you're going to be impressed, and your kids are going to love the classes. Hey friends, if you have been around my podcast for long or read any of my books, you've probably heard me talk about how important it is that kids understand their identity in Christ. Because the world around us will tell our kids a lot of things about who they are, but as believing parents, we know one thing to be true. We were made in God's image, and we were created for a purpose. So if you've ever had challenging conversations with your kids and wondered what to say when your kids ask about same-sex marriage or other tricky cultural topics, or if you want to know how to weave scripture and conversations about faith, identity, and purpose into your everyday life, Christian Parenting has a resource for you. It's called Identity Simplified, and this is the resource you need. Now, Identity Simplified is Christian Parenting's new digital guide that includes some of the best articles, podcasts, and videos on topics like these. Ready? What it means to be made in the image of God, how our identity in Christ changes our purpose, what the Bible says about sexual identity and gender identity, how we're supposed to treat others, and more. You will also find conversation guides, discussion starters, and scripts to use with your kids, which is so helpful. And because this guide is digital, you can download it straight to your phone or computer, and you can search through all the resources there whenever you need. So, friends, this is a bargain and a half. It is
$5 right now. That's right. If you go over to cpgive.org, you will find this whole digital guide that you can download for just $5. So trust me, there's some resources from me in there and a whole lot of other great people. This is well worth your $5. So hurry over to cpgive.org. Check it out. I think you're going to love this resource.
Now we're going to talk about meanness, pushing buttons. This is kind of related to the last one, but also just if one of the kids just isn't nice, what kind of consequences or discipline could we suggest for that situation?
So I do think it's important, and this is not at all the whole picture, but mm-hmm. I think sometimes if you have one, like a mean one, mm-hmm. trying to figure out why that mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. And we had that happening. And I was like, oh, you know, and then I think the Lord really helped me to see that in some ways they were waking up with two strikes already against them. Mm. And maybe I was seeing their behavior differently than, or not seeing, you know, there was one kind of doing things that you didn't always see.
Ooh, yeah.
So I do think it's worth noting and just thinking about why the misbehavior is misbehaving. Mm. And there are a number of reasons, but... you know, kids do things for attention. And so trying to think through that and back to my story, like I'm not a psychologist. I can just tell you what happened with us is mm-hmm. I think God just really revealed that I had some negativity in my heart towards this person. And, I needed to deal with that. And God really did a big work in me. And seeing, I think I was annoyed by things and maybe not seeing the gifts of that person.
Wow.
And so God just like completely changed my heart. And once I have this phrase that I always think in my head, which is love hard, discipline hard. And I think sometimes we're afraid to discipline because we kind of feel bad or, you know, maybe we over-discipline and we feel guilty about that, but love hard, discipline hard. So if you're in a stage where somebody needs discipline, are you applying the equal amount of love and investment in the relationship, whatever that looks like for them, you know, pancake breakfast or scratching the back or, you know, listening to them play music or I don't know, like whatever their love language is, you have to work really hard to love and show love. You know, my mom would say, like, you make the deposits in the bank before you can make the withdrawals.
So good.
And so I feel like we worked on that. And some of those behaviors almost took care of themselves.
Wow.
Now, that's one
huge,
explanation.
Though. Yeah, but that's really important.
So that's like, maybe that's happening. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not. And maybe... you know, there are just, in some ways, meanness is a discipline issue, right? Mm-hmm, like you're disobeying our family rules and you're disobeying the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so it's not so much a sibling thing as like, you're doing things that are not okay in our home.
Yes.
And so need to be treated accordingly, like any other act of disobedience would be.
Yes. No, that's really true. So I think if we're seeing something repeatedly in our child's behavior, whether it's with their siblings or anything else, just given a consequence is going to be your most effective route. And between siblings, it might be something I've done before. If one is being mean to the other and it is clear, like there's no questions, then that son can do the other's chores for the day or for the week. Something that's kind of related so that they're reminded as they're doing those chores that that's happening because they mistreated that sibling. So I think coming up with some creative consequences that are still related can be really helpful for these things.
Yes, totally agree. So one thing I like to say in our house is if you can't be nice to the people inside the home, you're not going to go play with anyone outside the home. Because what we want to avoid is this scenario where I'm just kind of a little bit of a jerk and yet I'm going to go about my happy little life and go do all my socializing. And that's 100% not going to happen.
Wow.
So it's very frequent for me to be like, or at least threaten. I don't know how many times it actually had to do it, but but sometimes like, okay, no, you're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. You need to spend some time in here showing that you are able to be kind.
Yep. And isn't it amazing that they're able then to suddenly be kind? It's like they can, they just have been choosing not to, right?
Yes. But you're not going to allow it. It's like saying, right. Okay, no, this is not going to happen. So
I love that with all of my heart. And how much more effective and how much more dignity do you have as a parent just saying those words? You didn't have to scream. You didn't have to yell, throw anything. You just spoke these words and let the consequences do the work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if someone's being mean, like they shouldn't be having this perpetually being mean. They should not mm-hmm. be having this happy, fun life. Mm-hmm. Whatever things are fun and important to them, mm-hmm. you're going to stop for a little bit until you are able to get a hold of this behavior.
Yes, absolutely. And I will say this kind of stuff was what initially inspired me to put together my character training course, because it was a son who he wasn't overly rebellious or doing anything horrible. He just had this critical spirit towards the people in our family, and it was a ongoing issue. And that's where I came up with what I share in the character training course, which changed the course of that boy's life, I believe, and our family dynamics. It's this little stuff, but you want to nip it in the bud. You don't want this to become the normal behavior that your child carries into life with them. But I'm going to go on to another one because we've got so many to cover. And again, we could probably turn this into a couple episodes. So let's talk about a few parents said they want to teach gentleness without nagging. And the repeated thing here was, there are certain things I teach, but I feel like I'm constantly bringing it up and I don't want to just be that nagging mom. Let's talk about things that we repeat a lot as parents.
Yeah, my father-in-law said, and I think he said it was a Dr. Dobson, I don't remember, but it's like, whenever I have been saying like repeated things, he'll say 2,000 times to make a habit or something, 2,000 repetitions, you know, you have to say something however many times.
Yep.
So 100%, yes. Mm-hmm. Like that's part of our job that we signed up for. Mm-hmm. I do think if you're saying it without, to the earlier point, consequences, that's a you problem. So
Wow.
I don't know. It is
that's good. You're right.
I don't know.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And that's, again, we need to keep in mind context always. So if there's a clear call to action and they're not doing it, if they are breaking a family rule or doing something that deserves consequences, yes, I guess I'm kind of thinking of things like those reminders that we offer as moms and we feel like they're doing no good at all. And sometimes I just think we all need to remember that we're shaping little hearts, and it may take 2,000 reminders over many years, and that's okay. Just keep doing your job. Give the consequences where they're needed, but it's okay to have to keep certain themes going in your family. That's like you said, that's part of our job, right?
And I'm not sure what they're getting at, but maybe like if it's a, you know, somebody just being rude in their speech, just constantly doing do-overs. Like, okay, you're going to say that again with a nice voice. You're going to ask that again politely. And so that, that's just part of the job description. It super is annoying though.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's where we get to grow in our own character as well. Okay. I have a feeling in your family you've experienced this. How can we create close relationships when kids have different interests? So your kids do different sports, maybe music. What are some of the interests in your family?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just the fact that I have a girl who is younger. But so I've done lots of creative things. I mean, like we talked about, this is a character issue, because guess what? There's a lot of people in the world, Christians, that you're going to run into that you don't naturally have affinity, or like, this is just a life skill. You're going to learn how to talk about things you don't care about. So we're going to learn that.
Yeah.
But also one thing I've done is in the summer we had like little sister camp. So, you know, in the summer you have a lot more free time. Yep. One of the things on their checklist is you're going to spend 30 minutes with your sister investing in something she wants to do. And I just heard this from another mom that I respect who has like teenagers who were driving and then they had like a surprise in like, that's a toddler, babe, you know, so very, no shared interest really.
Right.
And she just said she constantly is like reminding them that, you know, you got to do all of these fun things when you were this age, you got to go to the museum and ride on the train. And so like, this is her childhood and we're going to experience this with them. And I always just think like, what good practice we're giving them to be parents one day, because they're going to be a dad. How many dads are like maybe naturally interested in all of the things that their kids are or wives are? Like we're training them to be selfless. So this is a life skill, like acknowledging, I think not expecting like, well, you should enjoy this. This is fun. Like just go ahead and say it what it is. Yeah, I get it. It's not fun for you. Totally understand. You're completely right. But this is something you are going to do and there's going to be rewards because you're building character here. And so it's important. So yeah, I make my kids play together sometimes. Like I'm like, you're going to like play a board game with her or, you know, you're going to go throw the ball with him. He wants to do that right now. Like I'm not above making people to do things. And nine times out of 10, they end up actually like enjoying it.
Yes. I love that so much. And that's such good advice there. And I think to bringing them along to support each other's games, you know, so you might not feel like watching baseball today, but that's what we're going to do. And this might be a good time to just at least make a quick mention of the difference in having devices along or allowed all the time at home, like what a difference it makes if we put those away, right? And I know you and I are both pretty passionate about this, but parents, if you're letting your kids just take their device and go in their room, good luck seeing them build relationships with their siblings.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's convicting for me as a parent too, because we have them and it's hard and it is easy to want to zone out, but I want to be held accountable to it. And I want to build a culture of adults, eventually adults, that are not selfish and not, and that are able to have conversations and invest in one another. And if they don't practice those skills now, they're not going to have them. So, you know, I 100% agree. And that's the one that I feel like is immediately hard for parents, but
so hard
in the long term, it's easier.
Yes.
Like, and I think that's one thing people don't see, or it's hard to see, is that those things make your attention span shorter. They make you snippier. You're less engaged. Like, and it's not anecdotally, like it actually does in the brain do these things. It's been observed. So it's harder to say, hey, no, but actually long-term you're doing yourself a favor. And it really, really is. Like it really and truly is. So
yeah,
just an encouragement.
Right. No, I know. And you and I are in the struggle too, as we're still raising kids. I was at Costco last night alone and I went past someone who had two kids in her, in Hawaii, we call them wagons, but I grew up calling them shopping carts. What do you call them in North Carolina?
Definitely it's a shopping cart. Buggy is another good old Southern.
Well, if you say cart here, people look at you weird. So I've learned in my 23 years in Hawaii to call them wagons. So in the wagon. Okay. But two kids, and they were each staring at their little device as mom did all the shopping. And I just had this quick memory come back to me because I now have kids in their mid-20s. And they went to Costco with me as little ones before anyone had a device in the wagon. And they like came up everywhere we went. They have like a different game that they created. And at Costco, they had some game where they would try to like hide from each other. I mean, I probably wasn't parenting real well because they're probably annoying people, but they would run down aisles and kind of hide behind all the big boxes. And I don't know exactly. They could probably tell you today what was going on in that little narrative, but whatever it was, they had so much fun and they still reflect on it and laugh their heads off about their Costco game they would play. And I just think, wow, if they had devices, if I let them ride in the wagon with their devices, they wouldn't have those memories, right? So anyway.
100%. And road trips are a great, like, I've heard those are harder in Hawaii because it's like not very long. But
circle the island.
Yeah, like we don't, nobody's on their, any device on the car. We don't do a video. Part of that is because it doesn't work or it's broken.
Good. So convenient.
Yeah. But we intentionally don't. Like I could buy a lot of little contraptions and you know, I am not saying that it's like that as a result, there can be some kicking and poking and, but, because I want to use that to, I want them to have memories of, you know, hanging out with each other.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And it's hard. I mean, how much easier, how much more peaceful will that car ride be if everyone's just got their AirPods in and doing their own thing? But long term, we're looking for the long term goals here, right? And with that, let's just move on to getting a little bit practical about when an actual conflict comes up. So I suppose this could be in the early years, but especially as kids get older and they have real conflicts, parents want to know when to get involved, when to let them work it out. Do we have any suggestions for things we can teach them to resolve their conflicts better? And one thing I'll just open with is, like we said before, this is important. This is good stuff because this is going to transfer to other relationships. We don't want to avoid conflicts at all costs. We want to help them navigate conflicts well. And I think it goes without saying, you and I have already touched on this throughout the conversation. This is going to, kids need time together in order to work things out, right? If our kids have a conflict and our solution is, okay, you go over to your friends, you go to your sport, or you go to your room, if we're constantly just avoiding the conflict, we are not helping them. So with that in mind, when your kids have a conflict, have you come up with any creative ways of handling it?
I think a big thing I've learned is being proactive, like so that you're not putting them in positions that it's going to happen, trying to help them. Like if you have somebody who's just having a hard day, like let's watch, and I mean a really hard day, like just not doing well, getting sick, didn't get enough sleep, super grumpy, something disappointing happened, really trying to like set them up for success and, you know, not put them in positions that are going to result in a big giant fight. So keeping your eyes open for that, I think, is a huge help. But of course, it's inevitable and it is going to happen sometimes. And I think my method has been to do like do-overs. So, okay, I am going to separate you for, but not permanently. Just we're going to go take a breather and then we're going to come back together and we're going to calmly communicate what happened. So take a deep breath and say, I feel frustrated because you blank. And the other person then can say, well, I feel frustrated because you blank. And then I will, you know, tee them up and say, you're not leaving until you're able to calmly and nicely, genuinely apologize for what happened. And sometimes that's a long and painful process. But we're not going to let things fester. Like we're not going to have resentment and bitterness. So we will deal with it. And there certainly have been times that it doesn't tie up neatly. But that's my best effort.
Right. So that's when you're involved in it. How would you decide when to jump in and say, okay, I'm going to help you resolve this? And when do you just kind of let them like battle it out? Is there one answer to that?
Yeah, I mean, so my kids at 15 and 13 and 10, I would say that I have erred on the side of if it's a situation that is like a significant issue, I'm going to walk along and model for them how to handle it and make sure that it's now if it's just the boys kind of poking each other and, you know, getting on each, like if it's not a big thing, I don't micromanage it. So I'm thinking of the ones that they're not able to resolve. Like it's not getting resolved.
Yeah. Or they come to you and let you know they need help resolving it.
Exactly. I'm not usually going to say, well, I would say go try to work it out. But if it hasn't and there's bitterness and there's, you know, then I am going to step in. So I don't know. Is that answering?
Yeah, I think that's really good. And I've told people before in the early years when they're fighting, before you jump in and try to manage it, sometimes what's most effective I've found is to simply say, Mom doesn't want to hear you bickering right now. So can you take that, you know, if you have a safe fenced in backyard or in a rec room, you guys go finish your arguing over there. Oftentimes you find that the conflict just goes away.
That's a very good point.
Because they're actually just wanting attention or they want mom to get involved, right?
Yes, definitely.
So sometimes just saying, hey, I can't handle fighting today. Go ahead and take that outside. And then suddenly they're outside playing and they just forget that they were ever fighting. So I think where you can stay out of it is good. But yes, by those early teenage years, sometimes they need some help. And what a good model even for life. Like, we want our kids to know that it's okay to go to somebody else to help work things out if they're having other struggles in life. And just want to encourage people to not give up. I mean, I don't know how many times I've quoted Galatians 6:9, but do not grow weary in doing good. For in due season, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. So parents, keep pressing on. Don't assume if your kids are fighting today that they won't be friends tomorrow or in the big picture tomorrow. Jessica, thank you so much. Where can people just track you down and follow you if they want to hear more from you?
Well, like you said, Memory Making Mom and Let Them Be Kids are my two books. And I'll definitely say, if you don't have those, that might be something you enjoy if you enjoyed this conversation. And then, I'd love to hear from you on Instagram. I'm jessica.smart. Smart has two T's.
And I'll also say that I don't subscribe to too many emails, but Jessica's is one I love to get. She keeps them short and sweet, but they're always really valuable. So subscribe to Jessica's email.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'll send you a link for that.
definitely. All right. Well, thank you for joining me for this important conversation, and maybe we can do a part two down the road. All right, friends, hope you enjoyed that conversation. And again, if there are any other specific sibling topics that you would like us to cover in a part two, please go over to show notes and leave a comment letting us know, and we'll see if we can make that happen. And show notes can be found today at monicaswanson.com/siblings-Jessica Smart. And Smart has two T's. It's kind of hard when somebody's been on the podcast a few times. You have to come up with new names. But you can also find all podcast show notes at monicaswanson.com/podcast. You might scroll through there, see if there's any you've missed lately. Thank you so much, guys, for being a part of this fall series with frequently asked parenting questions. We've got a couple more ahead, and then we're going to dive into the holidays and talking about how we can prepare for the very best holiday season. So I'm really excited about that. One more thing. I'd love it if you could share this episode with your friends. And you can do so easily by taking a screenshot of this episode and sharing it to your Instagram stories or Facebook or wherever you hang out. And if you share it to Instagram, make sure to tag me at @MonicaSwanson_, and I will most likely share it as well. So thank you again for being here. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.